All righty. Y'all can be seated. Thank you. We'll go ahead and announce.
The court will now call Charter Communications Incorporated versus Dan Allen Lewis. May it please the court, Mr. Gregory Abe will argue for the appellant. Mr. Kelly Stewart will argue for the appellee.
Good afternoon. May it please the court, counsel. My name is Greg Ave, and I'm here to present oral argument on behalf of Charter Communications, the appellant in this case. Charter doesn't contest whether Lewis suffered a water intrusion incident or flooding, as he described, on July 10th, 2013. Charter also doesn't dispute Lewis's assertion that a contractor sent to bury the internet connection which Charter had installed 2 days prior, was seen by Mr. Lewis in the alley behind his house fixing a flat tire shortly thereafter. What Charter does dispute, and of which there is no evidence in the record, is that Charter's actions were the producing cause of Lewis's water intrusion and alleged damages. As this court in the Rio Haas versus Lone Star Gas case said in 1982, quote, any cause of action, there can be no recovery of damages by an aggrieved party against another unless the injuries or damages he caused by the other's actions. The fact that persons are injured for whatever reasons does not give rise to an assurance that compensation for those injuries will be recovered. 637 Southwest 2nd, 596 at 559. Lewis boldly offers in his operative pleading that somehow Omni, the contractor that was responsible for burying the line, use of a water spigot on the outside of his house caused flooding inside the house. That's the clerk's record, page 262. But through the course of the trial, Lewis failed to present more than a scintilla of evidence that Charter's purported failure to bury his internet connection in a good and workmanlike manner was the producing cause for water to flow inside his house, coming from the direction of his laundry room adjacent to the door leading to his garage. It's that simple. There is no legal linkage in this record between Charter's actions or omissions or performance of its work or failure to perform its work.
Was there any evidence that the spray boring tool, the water boring tool, was employed, as is suggested in the briefing, to get the cable underneath the driveway?
I believe the answer to your question is no.
Okay,
and I would
so
elaborate
on specific representation in Appley's brief.
Yes.
Okay.
And I believe
that the ground was wet and there appeared to have been water usage from Mr. Lewis's testimony.
Yes. And I believe there's actually testimony from Mr. Lewis that he saw boring equipment. And I believe there's further testimony that Max Epez, I believe it's pronounced, told him that he used water boring. But there's no testimony to the specific question that Your Honor just posed. In other words, there's no specific evidence, firsthand or otherwise, that boring equipment was used to bury the internet connection in question. In fact, I believe the testimony of Mr. Bennett, the operations manager for Charter called by Mr. Lewis, testified that water boring was used in approximately 5 to 10% of the line burying procedures which are typically carried out. But as to the court's specific question, I don't believe that there is the evidence that establishes that particular aspect. But if we assume it did, if we assume there is ironclad evidence, that there is evidence in the record that boring equipment was used to bury the internet connection line in question, it does not amount at all to any evidence whatsoever connecting Charter's actions and the water intrusion and damage to Mr. Lewis's home. That just doesn't get him there.
Well, let me ask you this. Why could a jury not reasonably infer that the use of the water of that particular spigot from the testimony that Mr. Lewis was told that the water spigot was used, from the testimony that it was wet around the area for Mr. Lewis, and from his testimony that the source of the water that flooded his home appears to have come from the very wall that that spigot came from, why is that not a reasonable for the jury to conclude that in fact the operation of that spigot in some way by Omni approximately caused the water to come in?
Because that is
producingly caused the water to come in was a substantial factor.
Because that is zero evidence whatsoever. That is zero evidence that the court just recounted that the actual actions of Charter did something which caused the water penetration in question into the house. What the court just did was exactly what Mr. Lewis did. I assume, which is exactly what the jury would have to do in order to reach the conclusion posed in the hypothetical by the court, would have to assume.
Well, there's no evidence of any water operation whatsoever in that record from any other source.
Actually, what there is evidence that the water came from the direction of Mr. Lewis's laundry room.
Right. But there's no evidence that there was an internal leak. There's nothing like what happened in Melody Homes where, in fact, they could identify the source of the water. There's no contrary evidence either that the gentleman who was there to lay the cable, to bury the cable, right, came in with a water hose and started spraying everything. Okay? So it's a little bit more than just assuming. Okay, if in fact it had just been a water main that broke, a water pipe that broke, then it wouldn't have mattered whether or not the spigot was on, off, had been used or not. That would still be going on, but there's no evidence that that was the case.
Precisely. Just as there's absolutely no evidence whatsoever in the record that the use of a water spigot outside the home caused water intrusion inside the house. You're absolutely right. There is no evidence proffered by the defendant that says, here's some other alternative things that we think, here's where the water came from. We went in there, we busted up his house, we found out that there was a leak in his pipe. Wait a minute, we never had that opportunity. All we have is Mr. Lewis saying it came from the direction of his laundry room and his summation that what was on the other side of that wall was the spigot.
Had this house ever flooded before or after the time?
Yes, Your Honor, that's a great question and something I was looking forward to getting to. The information about what happened that morning, that day, that Mr. Lewis testified to, that he went into his kitchen, he found water accumulated on his kitchen floor, he identified it coming from the direction of his laundry room next to the back door leading into his garage. He opened his garage door. He went out his garage door, and he found Mr. Ipez in the back alley changing a flat tire. I believe that's pages 137 and 135 to 137 of the second volume of the reporter's record. Beyond that, there is nothing other than Mr. Lewis's testimony where he says, before this instant, no water intrusion issues. After this incident, no water intrusion issues. So that is the context which we have this testimony. But still what is missing is how, why, or where the use of the spigot on the outside of the house, if we assume there's evidence of it, caused water penetration into the house. It may be a suspicion, but as the Supreme Court's explained, that's not enough. That's not causation. I'm thinking and quoting in our brief, Guevara versus Fuhrer, suspicion has not and is not legally sufficient to support a finding of causation, and that's precisely what we have here. I think the court needs to be aware of the fact and look at page 192, volume 2 of the record. What's interesting here is that I believe this came after defense counsel took Mr. Lewis on voir dire. And it appears from that testimony, at least one reasoning, that Mr. Lewis actually testified the water did not come from the general direction of the wall where the outdoor spigot was located, but rather came from, and I'm quoting from page 192, volume 2, quote, opposite the wall from where the spigot was located. Again, what needs to happen for this verdict to be supported is there be some evidence, more than a scintilla of evidence, that the water in question was somehow produced by, that Charter was the producing cause. In other words, a substantial factor in bringing about, without which it would not have occurred, the water intrusion into the house. And I think that it's probably best put by a question posed by Mr. Lewis's counsel to him that's found on page 192, 193 of volume 2 of the record that emphasizes and underlines what's missing from an evidentiary standpoint on causation in this case. Question, why didn't you call a plumber and say, where's this water coming from? Question mark. Answer, well, the water appeared while the crew was doing their work, and when they stopped using the spigot, the water was no longer coming into the house. Question, but why didn't you call a plumber and go, gee, I don't know where the water is coming from? Because we don't know. Answer, I don't know what that would have looked at, what they would have looked at. They would have had to tear the house apart to do some kind of inspection. Precisely. Mr. Lewis is 100% and entirely correct. He doesn't know, we don't know, and we're never going to know. There is no evidence of that. The argument here boils down to this, the suggestion that, come on, too much of a coincidence. That's not a legal principle, and that's not evidence, and it's not legally sufficient to support a jury verdict. Quote, evidence that is so slight to make an inference, a guess, is legally effective, no evidence. Supreme Court in Ford versus Ridgway. When the evidence compels the jury to guess if a vital fact exists, a reviewing court does not undermine the jury's role by sustaining a no-evidence challenge. General Ike versus Casillas, 328 Southwest 2nd, 529. Again, that's what we're dealing with here. The confidence and, come on, they're here. I got water in the house. They leave. No more water in the house. Well, ergo.
It's a little bit more than that, okay? The source is the plumbing of the house. It's the only way it gets in internally. There's no evidence whatsoever of any external source bringing that water in. Okay? So, and the only evidence of any access to the plumbing during the same time frame is with regard to the outdoor use of the spigot. So, the plumbing is getting used, so there's a proximity. And there's a timing, proximity in terms of location, proximity in terms of timing, and the common source is the plumbing in the house. So it's a little bit more than just say, gee, the water got here and they happen to be outside my house, okay?
With all due respect, the water, since water comes from plumbing, other than us being there evidence of a lake on the outside or a pool having overflown, you're absolutely right. But again, what is sorely lacking from the record is a causal connection between Charter and the work it was doing and the water coming into the house. It could have been easily solved by presenting some evidence that Mr. Lewis aptly pointed out, I could have found out where the water was coming from, but I didn't. Was the line ruptured? Did somehow the use of a wall spigot, if in fact it had occurred, break the pipe? Maybe so.
But don't juries draw inferences from circumstantial evidence all the time?
They certainly do, Your Honor. But here, there's no circumstantial evidence as to where the water came from. That's the problem. In other words, between the link, circumstantial evidence linking the outside pipe and its supposed usage or spigot, excuse me, and the water inside the house. That's the leap. That's the breakdown. Not the potential use of the spigot and that the spigot involves water and that there was water inside the house, but the leap that has to go from the use of the spigot outside the house to water inside the house. That's the connection which is never made. And that leads us to the issue of what the issue was submitted to the jury and the only finding in favor of the plaintiff, and that is the warranty issue.
Okay. Thank you, counsel.
May it please the court. My name is Kelly Stewart, and I represent the appellee, Dan Lewis. I'm here with my co-counsel, Cynthia Hollingsworth. Your Honor, I'd like to address, unless you have specific questions, I'd like to address your specific questions, but I'd like to address some of the points that Mr. Aubrey
raised. Flip it over here. I do have some questions.
Sure.
And first off, what evidence is there that Charter or its predecessor, Time Warner, actually did or didn't do anything? It would appear to be the work of a contractor. Why is Time Warner and or Charter responsible for the act of a contractor?
Because there is evidence in the record that Mr. Lewis entered into an agreement, a contract with what was then called Time Warner, to install cable internet cable services. That's in the record. He entered into one arrangement with them, which took in two places. They came in, Time Warner cable came into his home to do the internal portions, and then they laid the cable outside and came back the second time to bury that cable.
So why can they not subcontract that out and that be the work of an independent contractor, and it's the fault of the independent contractor but not the contractor?
They did subcontract that out.
I know.
They did subcontract that out, and I had alleged, Mr. Lewis had alleged tort claims based on that were thrown out on summary judgment.
Right.
Now, that the contract itself is between Mr. Lewis and Time Warner Cable. There's also evidence that Charter admitted that it purchased the portion of Time Warner Cable that had that contract, so it assumed that that contract with Mr. Lewis was subsumed into Charter. So Charter, there's no dispute that Charter is Time Warner Cable, but the contract, the implied warranty is implied into the relationship with Mr. Lewis and Time Warner Cable / Charter. So even though they had subcontracted that out, they being Time Warner Cable, still had a contract, an agreement with my client to perform the work in a good and workmanlike manner. So the negligence claims, all of the tort claims, were not allowed to go to the jury.
Is this a non-delegable duty? Such that they can't, so that, why is it non-delegable?
Because they've got an agreement with my client to install it, and it's imposed in every agreement by law, and they have to perform the work in a good and workmanlike manner, and so the there is no dispute. Charter agreed that it was responsible for what Time Warner Cable did, and
where is that agreed?
Where Charter has agreed that it was part.
Charter is responsible for Time Warner, but where is it? So what's the legal basis that Time Warner is responsible for what their subcontractor did?
It's the same concept, Your Honor, is that the implied warranty to do the job in a good and workmanlike manner is implied in the contract with which Mr. Lewis is a party to.
I understand.
And he was a party to the Time Warner Cable that was later subsumed, or assumed, I should say, by Charter. And Time Warner Cable did not move to... They did move for summary judgment on all of the tort claims that were alleging that they failed to supervise, negligent hiring, et cetera. They did not move to say, to bring that argument up exactly, but I don't think they would have prevailed on it, but they did move for summary judgment on the case, and the trial court judge let the, throughout the torts and let the breach of contract claim, which is also the implied warranty claim, go forward, the DTPA claim.
What I hear you saying is that if someone has an obligation by virtue of a contract to do something in based upon an implied warranty of workmanlike performance, mm-hmm. that they can't delegate that responsibility. It's non-delegable.
I don't believe so. I mean, if you've got a contract, that duty's implied in that contract, and it, more importantly here, Your Honor, that issue wasn't raised before the trial court, and it's certainly not, I don't believe, fully briefed or fully raised here.
They've contested the fact that Time Warner and Charter didn't do anything with respect to this, that the work was done by third party, mm-hmm. the subcontractor. So it would appear to me that issue has been raised.
We do have in the record, of course, is the pleadings in which my client alleged a breach of contract, a breach of the implied warranty against Charter. So that's been pled. That was actually submitted to the jury. And the record on volume 3, 77 to 78, Charter stipulated that Time Warner Cable performed the services for Lewis, and there was a contract between Time Warner Cable and Lewis. And that defense was not it got presented to the jury with, did Charter breach its implied warranty? And the contract between Charter and my client, Mr. Lewis, does contain that implied warranty. So it wasn't disclaimed. So
the contract carried the duty, and you don't care who performed the work. Is that in essence what?
That's one way to say it. The contract carried the duty, but I also, Mr. Lewis sued Time Warner Cable and had also pled theories against Time Warner Cable about negligent hiring of Omni and Mr. Yepes and the negligent performance and some of the tort duties.
Those didn't go to the jury.
No, those were dismissed through summary judgment.
Let me ask you a different question about the good and workmanlike conduct. The charge says that a good and workmanlike manner is that quality of work performed by one who has knowledge, training, and experience necessary for the successful practice of a trade or occupation and performed in a manner generally considered proficient by those capable of judging such work. You answer the question in your brief as to whether or not there needed to be expert testimony by simply saying the jury simply did not need an expert to testify that flooding someone else's home during the process of installing internet services was not good in workmanlike. Why didn't you need expert testimony in this case?
Because I believe the controlling law, which actually some of that is cited by Charter, the Buck Stop, the Via Metro Transit case, and the Bossier Chrysler Dodge case, all talk about when an expert testimony is required, and Melody Homes. And Melody Homes is a house flooding case where the Texas Supreme Court said in that case, it doesn't take an expert to explain to a jury that flooding a home when you're installing a dishwasher is not a good and workmanlike manner. I believe this case was very analogous to...
There was absolutely no dispute by the parties that, in fact, something had not been connected that should have been connected. Yeah. And because it wasn't, that was the source of the flooding. Right. Here, even if you assume, okay, that the spigot was turned on and used for purposes of boring, how does that violate any duty of workmanlike service? Turning on a spigot, did he not turn on the spigot correctly? Did he have was there any indication, given the fact Mr. Lewis himself didn't have any indication that turning that spigot on was going to flood his house? How is it possible for there to be an actual violation of the implied warranty?
Two responses to that. First, I don't believe, Your Honor, that the boring itself is what's at issue. I believe the installation of cable internet services.
Take boring out.
Yeah. The whole process.
He wanted a drink of water. Okay. He turned it on.
Well, he did that in the process of internet cable installation services. And I don't believe that a jury needs an expert to tell them that when you install internet cable in somebody's house that you should not flood that house.
But that assumes that there's a causal connection. Yep. The question is, what was the act or omission which was the breach of the implied warranty? Not the result, the flooding in the house assumes that there's a mm-hmm. connection. What was the act or omission in the record in this case of the breach of doing something in an implied in a workmanlike fashion?
Your Honor, I believe the act was actually using the spigot without permission. Mr. Lewis, in the testimony of the record, is that he had disabled it to keep people from taking his water. I don't believe there's testimony that he'd have given them permission had they asked, but that's not even in the record. The fact that they used a water spigot without permission in the process of installing cable services and that flooded the home, in my view, is the actual causal, the producing cause of that.
If the spigot was disabled because someone was taking his water, then it must have been operating properly, and he discontinued it, disconnected it, not for the purpose that created a risk of flooding, but to keep people from taking it. So how can them using it be a some type of violation of implied warranty of workmanlike performance if the reason it was turned off was not because it was dangerous, but because they didn't want people stealing it?
Because it happened. And yes, I'm not saying the result is what's the causation, but it is part of the process, part of the work they did. The charter representative testified that he would not, that if you flood somebody's home in the context of installing cable services, that is a breach of the good and workmanlike manner.
That, so charter, that assumes that you flooded them by the use of the spigot, which we don't know is what, how, is that?
Well, it does assume that the house was flooded by the use of the spigot, but as going back to the questions to Charter, this is a decision that the jury made, and there is this is not a no-evidence situation. It's not a pure circumstantial evidence situation. There's evidence all the way across that Justice Birdwell had outlined in part that the jury can infer that. It's not a hard inference that the use of the spigot or that's where the water came from. There's no contrary evidence. There was no contrary evidence submitted.
Who has the burden of proof?
My client had the burden of proof.
They had the burden of proof showing where the water came from, and all they have is the fact that water was there, and it was there during the time the spigot was being used. Where is the proof that shows that the water is coming from the spigot?
Mr. Lewis testified that he saw that the spigot was wet. Mr. Lewis testified that the flooding...
The spigot's on the outside of the house, and right. It's being used with the water. Of course it's going to be wet.
But that proves the point, that spigot was used. Mr. Yep has also... I'm sorry.
My question is not that the spigot was used. Okay, let's assume the spigot was used. Let's assume it was wet. But what's the connection that shows that the water going through the spigot is the water or is related to the water which is going into the house?
Mr. Lewis saw water coming into his utility room on the wall opposite of where the spigot was. He testified to that several times, that the water was coming from the wall where the spigot was on the outside. Mr. Yepes also testified in response to Charter's questions that when Charter asked Mr. Lewis, Mr. Lewis said, Mr. Yepes told me that. Not only was that elicited by Charter, it's an admission, I believe, of a party opponent, but it was the real issue is it was not objected to. The jury got to hear that evidence where Mr. Yepes said, I used the spigot. It was unobjected to testimony solicited by Charter. That's further evidence that that's where the water came from.
The fact that they used the spigot is proof that that's where the water came from?
Combined with Mr. Lewis saw that the spigot was wet. Mr. Lewis saw that the water was coming in on the other side of the wall from where the spigot was. Yes. That's certainly something the jury could infer from that.
But the fact that the jury could infer that the gentleman that was doing the work connected the hose, that caused the flooding, that still doesn't answer the question about whether or not connecting the device to the spigot was beneath a good and workmanlike performance.
Well, I believe a jury could have construed that because Mr. Bennett, the charter representative, also agreed that Mr. Yepes would have had to have used the water. He had used water in the water boring technique, and he would have had to have gotten it from Mr. Lewis because he didn't bring it with him. So there's almost two issues there with did just the mere use of the spigot versus plugging in the high-pressure water hose do something. There's evidence that that happened, and it's certainly within the purveyance of the jury that they could conclude from all of that testimony that, yes, this was a producing cause of Mr. Lewis's damages.
But there's still the liability question that connecting that hose was beneath the standard of good and workmanlike performance. And that's where I want to know where I'm curious where the evidence is. I mean, I'm not arguing with you at this point in time about the causation question. I'm arguing about where the evidence was that allowed the jury to answer the question I quoted from.
And that question, I'm sorry, Your Honor, that question is
question number the instruction in question number two that defines what constitutes good and workmanlike performance.
Again, with respect, Your Honor, all of the evidence, I believe, where Mr. Lewis saw where the water was coming from, Mr. Lewis testified about it. Mr. Yepes told him he'd used it. Mr. Lewis testified about the equipment being used and that he saw. We've got photographs of all of that that was submitted to the jury. There was no dispute that this work was done in connection with the installation of the cable internet services. And the jury is entitled to infer, and I believe it's very clear that you don't flood someone's house when you install their cable installation services. I don't believe that requires an expert to tell you that's the standard of care. I believe it's very analogous to Melody Homes, as far as sometimes, like the Texas Supreme Court says, sometimes you don't need an expert to tell you, and you don't always have to have the expert testimony. It just depends on what the underlying issues are. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors. I'll be brief. First, I think it's important to point out that the concept on which we're the appellee is arguing that liability attaches to Charter is based upon an argument that there is evidence that there was a contract. There was a contract, and the jury was asked whether or not Charter breached that contract, and the jury said no. Again, we have maintained in the trial court, post-verdict motions, and in this court, that Charter did nothing which proximately caused the damages which you're complained of, and they did not. They did nothing, and there is no evidence of Charter doing anything.
And when you say Charter, who is encompassed under your use of the word Charter?
Charter is Time Warner, because that's who we bought. We bought their liability lock, stock, and barrel.
So do you concede that Time Warner would have been responsible based on some non-delegable duty for the subcontractor?
I'm not sure there's a non-delegable duty left under Texas law in any context, but there very certainly is not a non-delegable duty as it relates to the burying and installation of an internet cable.
Let's look at it this way. The Omni was not present on the property of Mr. Lewis. They weren't trespassing, were they?
They certainly were not.
They were there with a license.
Absolutely. And there is no
on the contract.
And there is no
charter. And Mr. Lewis.
That's absolutely good. Okay. But that is correct. Charter, with that, there is no dispute that Charter retained, dispatched, hired, paid, whatever label you want to put on it.
And you would be arguing if, in fact, he was refusing to pay for the services he was obtaining, you would be arguing that he was in breach of the contract if he had not allowed you to do the regulatory thing which you have to do, because I'm guessing burying the cable is a regulatory requirement. So you're dealing with you're dealing at least with a license to be on the premises.
Absolutely.
That is a license that you obtained by contracting.
Absolutely.
Okay, so the Omni wouldn't be on the premises, and therefore Omni wouldn't be turning the spigot absent the contract.
But all those facts do not a duty make. I agree with everything Your Honor said, but I don't think that establishes a legal duty. Briefly, I'd like to touch upon the issue that I was finished.
Do you dispute that the contract carried with it the warranty of good and workmanlike performance?
I don't, Your Honor. And so, to that point, I believe what we did was comply with that obligation. But as it relates to that issue, and that issue we raised on appeal and that has been discussed during the colloquy with Appellee's counsel, there is zero evidence in this record as to what a good and workmanlike manner would have been, which would have not, by Time Warner slash Charter, which would have not resulted in the water intrusion.
Evidence, testimony that specifically says that the appropriate thing to do to access water is to ask for permission to do so?
I believe that Mr. Barnett said that they should ask for permission. The contractor should.
Why would not the duty of good and workmanlike service include a duty to make a request for authorization to access water on the premises?
Because that does not demonstrate how the supposed noncompliance with that proficiency led to the water intrusion and the damages complained of. That's what's missing. In other words, there is no evidence, and it's required, we believe, under De Leon, it's required under the Bossier Chrysler case, and Melody Holmes is 100% inapplicable because everyone agreed with causation. But what we're here about is the lack of causation. So that is precisely why it was incumbent upon Mr. Lewis to offer evidence of what the applicable standard of care or proficiency, in this instance, if you will, that should have been offered that wasn't offered to the jury. And it didn't have the benefit of that information. It was left literally to guess. And without that evidence, the jury's verdict of a breach of that implied warranty cannot be supported. And we believe the case law fully supports that conclusion. We believe the jury's verdict and the judgment entered on it should be reversed and should be rendered by this court. We thank you for your attention if it has no further questions.
Thank you all.
All right, thank you. The case is submitted. Thank you all very much. We appreciate